There you go, Alan. Get them started. Yeah.
Thank you. words to that song, I'd rather have Jesus, and then the one that Heather sings. You know, is it really true that in Christ you have everything? Is that true, or is that just something I've been told my whole life that you need to believe, you know? If that is true, so if we've got Christ today, it doesn't matter what else is going on in your life. You've got everything if what we just sang is true, right? If you can hold on to that and you can tuck that away in your heart, then you'll never, you know, you can be happy and find joy, whatever situation that you're in. The more that you look at this world, I tell you, it almost seems like since January, it just, every single day there's a shooting, it just seems like it's all coming undone, right? But we can look past all of that, and do you really believe that one day, if you're saved and you're born again, that you're going to live in heaven? Do you believe that? Give me an amen. Amen. I mean, it's not something you just talk about because it makes you feel better. It is an absolute reality that there is a city, there's a kingdom. Amen. It's real, it's alive. People you know are already there. We're looking forward to going there. It's going to be so awesome. I mean, that's what we live for, right? When he saved us, he not only kept us from going to hell, But he gave us a hope of a promise that this will end one day, right? We'll get out of this body, we'll get a new body, and we'll live forever with him in heaven. And you know, we really can't even do that justice. Just don't ever let the devil convince you that with Christ, there's something lacking. Because he don't want you to believe that song when you walk out these doors today. You know, they say, I'd rather have Jesus. Would you honestly rather take Jesus than anything else in your life? If you can agree with that today, then I promise you, you'll be okay going out that door. If you really believe it, you know, if you put value in your relationship with Christ, then you really do have everything. Don't let the devil talk you out of that. Don't let him convince you that you don't. Don't let him rob your joy or your happiness, no matter what the situation is, because if you got Christ, you have everything, right? And they can have this world. We're not living for this place anyways. We know it's temporary, can't last forever. Had a good week at camp. Thanks for praying for that. There were at least five teenagers got saved during that camp. So that was a blessing. It's neat to see that many young people. There's close to 300 of them there that have their future ahead of them, and if they'll listen to the word of God, they can avoid a lot of potholes. Amen. So thank you for praying for that. Looking forward to Brother Randy going to preach here in just a few minutes. Enjoy his friendship. I actually met him at Cowboy Camp. Not here, but another church. It was right before I resigned and went to the mission field. It was at a church in Ohio, and that the cowboy camp before that, he wasn't there, and that was like scary stuff. And then he came, and it got a lot better, and I've enjoyed his friendship over the years. Got a good church and a good family. I'm looking forward to him preaching. Also, pray for cowboy camp, because we're going to kick this thing off tomorrow. What we need is the rain to not be at night. It can rain in the day, just not between like 5:30 and 8 or 9, all right? So hold it back till then, would you? Because I don't know what we're going to do with all these kids inside of here if it rains every night. But and then afterwards, if we can just have, just a quick few-minute meeting right afterwards for Cowboy Camp, just to make sure we got all the workers and everybody knows what they're doing for Monday. If we could do that right after church, that'd be great. All right, Brother Ronnie.
All right, if everybody please stand and get that hymn book and turn to hymn number 260, our Brother Dickens come forth to receive the morning offering.
Blessed Assurance, right?
Yeah, we're 345, I'm sorry. Brother Chris, would you ask blessing on offering, please? Hey.
Let's get a drink.
I give Sandy about a 10-second notice on this, so please pray for us. See our Savior hung between two thieves. Hear the soldiers mock his name. See his followers as they cry in disbelief. This could not be the reason that he came. See him realize his time is through. Feel the love that burns in his eyes. Behold the temple veil as it is torn in two. Hear the one on Calvary as he cries, paid in full. I done the work I came to do, paid in full. I paid God's final price for you. When old Satan tries to tell you that you'll never win, just remember that the debt for your sin is paid in full. See his children torn between two ways. Some still choose to mock his name. Hear his followers as they cry in disbelief. Oh, sorry. That he came. See the ones who trust themselves alone to do what only Christ can do. Through Jesus' blood alone we may approach the Father's throne and hear the words that he still cries to you. Paid in full, I done the work I came to do. Paid in full, I paid love's final price for you. When old Satan tries to tell you that you'll never win, just remember that the debt for your sin is paid in full. I come to the work I came to do, paid in full. I gave love's final price for you. When old Satan tries to tell you that you'll never win, just remember that the debt for your sin is paid in full.
Once a man named Stephen preached about the Lord. Folks were saved and folks were healed as they heard God's word. Satan did not like it. Soon he had his trial. And as he was tried, they heard Stephen cry aloud. I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. I see Jesus over in the glory land. Work is over, now I'm coming to thee. I see Jesus standing, waiting for me. Then the stones fell on him, beating out his life. Stephen knew he'd soon be through with all toil and strife. So much like our master, with a heart so true. He prayed, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. I see Jesus over in the promised land. Work is over, now I'm coming to thee. I see Jesus standing, waiting for me. Through the gates of glory, down the streets of gold, march the hero of the Lord into heaven's fold. And when he met the Master at the great white throne, I believe he smiled and said, Stephen, welcome home. I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. I see Jesus over in the promised land. Work is over, now I'm coming to thee. I see Jesus standing, waiting for me.
Thank you, appreciated that. Just a couple, two more quick announcements. At 3:30, we're going to meet up here, and Lord willing, it doesn't rain. We're going to do some door knocking and pass out some flyers. So we're going to do that between 3:30 and 5:30. So if you've got some time to do that today, if you'd meet us up here. And then after church tonight, we might need some help converting this over to Cowboy Camp, but that'll be after the evening service. But at 3:30, we're going to meet up here and do some door knock and hit some neighborhoods, make sure the kids know what time and if they need a ride, and that we have a bus, a van, and all that that's going to be going out. So that'll be this afternoon as well. You know, you think about the just living in this world. You know, everybody that sits in here this morning has something on your mind. You know, maybe it was a good week and you're just praising the Lord and thanking God for his goodness, and you're right where you need to be, and you're just looking forward to hearing. Maybe the devil just beat you up a little bit this week. Whatever the case it is, God knows, right? And he cares about you. We come to this place not for entertainment or because we have nothing else to do this morning. We come to this place because we want to hear from the Lord, right? And we know that he can help us. We want to honor who he is. He's God and we're not. We want to honor his holiness. When you just even say that name, the holiness of God, we all just automatically have to come to grips with the fact that we are not holy. And that when we come to God, we can only do that to, you know, in a clean heart. And oftentimes, you know, God's spirit is hindered because of us. And before Randy comes, I just want to pray just real quick and just ask God to work. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the people we get to share our lives with. Lord, you know each path that each person in here is taking. Lord, you know the things that they're going through personally in their life. Lord, you know the need of every heart in this room. Father, you also know our sin. Lord, you know without a doubt where we let you down this week. And Lord, as we come before you, recognizing you are holy, we want to ask you to forgive us. Lord, forgive us for the times that we let you down, where we sinned and we let the world get the best of us this week. Lord, we know that you're faithful and you're just to forgive. Lord, but we don't want to act like we don't have problems, because we do. And we so desperately need you this morning. Father, Lord, we need you to speak to our hearts. We need you to encourage. We need you to convict. Lord, we can't have Cowboy Camp without you. We can't help these kids without you. We can't even help ourselves without you. And Lord, I just pray you'd use Brother Randy in a real way this morning to speak to our hearts, that you'd help us to clear our minds and get the past week out of there and just focus on you. Lord, that your spirit would be very real in this room, that we would not hinder it and it would not be our fault. Lord, we want to be able to come clean with you so that you can work. We love you. Looking forward to what you're going to do in your word this morning. We ask this in your precious name. Brother Andy.
All right. Good to be back at Helenwood. And I'm very comfortable here. And I appreciate that. That's a compliment to y'all. To the sound guy, I don't know if you remember, but I get a little loud sometimes. So just beware. I don't know what live stream is going to do, but That's what's happening. Hey, I sure appreciate that they got me in the parsonage, and I sure appreciate that. I've been in places. I've slept on Sunday school floors. I've taken showers out of garden hoses with tarp wrapped around, and that is a nice place. I don't know who left all those T-bones and the lobster tails and the jacuzzi. I enjoyed the sauna today. That is absolutely amazing. Now, your pastor's about to get a lot of phone calls if that just went out on live stream. Hey, I'm driving through. I need to stay. But that parsonage is amazing, and I appreciate that. All the work that's been involved with that has just been a pleasure staying there. I don't know if you know, but sometimes when you're on the road, even the hotel rooms get old. And it's just nice going to a house that you actually have a refrigerator and you got to make your own coffee, and it just, I know hotel rooms have that, but it's not the same as a home setting. You know what I'm talking about? And so I appreciate that. Y'all have done marvelous over there. Some of you have not even seen it. You need to go see it. It is amazing. Now, don't go see it while I'm there, because I don't want you to see my mess. But you need to go see it if you would. Hey, we're going to start cowboy camp. Amen. Are you ready to go? We're going to run. If there's only five campers here, we're going to run it just the same. Isn't that right? If there's 500 campers, we're going to panic. All right? So that's the plan for today. No matter who shows up, we're going to run it normal. And then if we got an overflow, then we'll do something. I have no idea what we're going to do, but that's y'all's problem, not mine, because I'm here and I'm gone. So y'all work it out, if you would. Hey, it's great to be back. I do want to say this before I get started is this. I don't do this normally on Sundays, especially on Sunday morning. I usually bring sermons that I have preached before, and I usually bring sermons that I've preached before my own congregation. If I can't preach it to my own people, then I lose the all rights to preach it to another congregation. So this morning, I felt comfortable enough that I'm going to give you a message I've never preached before to my people or here, but I also believe this. Number two, if a pastor cannot preach a sermon that does not affect him personally, he should not be preaching it. God's word is for all of us, amen? We're all sinners saved by grace. The ground is level at the cross of Calvary. And I believe that the Word of God affects all of us, and I believe that the pastor goes through problems and difficulties just like everybody else. And I believe that the pastor needs to be looking at Scripture that affects him personally. I know a lot of times people may say, well, he's reading my mail, and he's pointing right at me, and he's directing right to me. You need to understand something. If a preacher's worth his salt, God dealt with him first before he preached this message. So I'm going to be preaching today, and I don't know anything where your life is at, but God has laid this on my heart, and I believe that this is the sermon for this morning. So I trust that you will absolutely be ready, get ready to worship the Lord, and I promise you I will let you out by 3:30 so that you can go canvassing. Let's get started, if you would. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Notice, if you would, please, in verse 2. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee. There are times in life that we always remember the good times, and sometimes we remember the bad times in life. But I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we should never forget that God's led us all the way. Every little high that we've ever had, every little low that we've ever had, God led us all the way. By the way, Jake, I saw Wednesday night live stream. You did a great job, buddy. I appreciate that. And it says here in verse 2, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Notice this, to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart. To humble you, to prove you, and to know what was in thine heart. And then it says here, if you would please, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Wouldn't it be amazing if we came to Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior, and then all of a sudden, when we do that, in that moment of time, that God go ahead and makes this corruption incorruption and this mortal immortality, and we go right to heaven. We would never know what hurts are. We would never know what valleys are. We would also never know what mountaintops are. If we got saved and immediately there was no hurt, no trials, no nothing, and we went in the presence of God, I want to say this, if I could, and I believe this is biblical. I don't think we would ever learn how to really appreciate who God is. It's the trials in life and it's the burdens in life that makes us lean more heavily on God. Amen? Amen. Now, y'all wake up. The more I hear you amen, and the shorter I'm going to be. All God's people said, amen. Amen. All right, just hang on. And during this time, God always led the nation of Israel through the wilderness so that they may know who God is. If you would, turn all the way back to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. Notice, if you would please, in verse 22. So Moses brought Israel, Exodus 15, verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found what, folks? No water. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't live without water. The Bible talks about water quite often and about how it purifies and it sanctifies and about how the water washing by the washing of the Word of God. The water is addressed several times in Scripture. I want you to know what happened. Let me set a little background. The 10 plagues happened in Egypt. Moses led that nation of Israel. Pharaoh let his people go. They go up to the Red Sea. The Red Sea parts. They walk across dry ground, and I believe it was dry ground. Million plus people get over there. The Egyptian army comes. God closes the Red Sea, wipes out Pharaoh's army. Then all of a sudden, in the Bible, you can read this later on, there's a biblical account of Miriam, and she takes the tremble, and she starts singing and praising unto God and dancing unto the Lord for the victory that God just gave her, for the victory that God just gave Israel. And that's how we are a lot of times. Man, alive, when we see God working, and man, we see some miracles of God happen, and then we start praising God and rejoicing God, but hang on, after the abundance, all of a sudden there comes a little bit of lackadaisical in our life. All of a sudden, after the abundance, we get a little used to that. All of a sudden, after the abundance, after we start looking up, then we start expecting what God can do. But sometimes that expectation doesn't come. All of a sudden, God brings something in our life, and then all of a sudden, He pulls His hand back. And that expectation then all of a sudden leads to disappointment. Well, I thought God loved me. Where's God? How come I'm going through this? And we had abundance in our life, and we expected God to do that. And then all of a sudden, there comes disappointment in our life. And then we start right there in that disappointment. We start wondering if God's still alive. We start wondering if He's still doing anything. We still wonder if He's still on the throne. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, my God's still the King of Kings. He's still the Lord of Lords. He's still working. He's still moving. Miracles are still happening. People are still getting saved. Lives are still getting right. There are churches that are still having revival. And bless God, amen, God's coming again. Amen. He's still here and He's still alive. Amen. A man alive. We go in that wilderness and all of a sudden there's 3 days. 3 days without water. Someone in that band comes and they said, Moses, there's some water up ahead. And they get all excited, and they're thinking, man, we're going to get water. We're going to feed this whole, all these tribes. We're going to feed all of our cattle. And they start walking up, and all of a sudden they get up to that body of water, and they put their lips down, and they're about to drink it. And all of a sudden, it's bitter. Now what? Now what's going to happen? You there with me? You ever been in that place? You ever felt judged by others? You ever been hurt? Moses is about to go through a valley. Just hang on. I'm going to show you some simple truths, and then we'll go. Father, Lord, I just ask that you guide us today. Lord, I'm asking that you put your hand on Cowboy Camp. God, I ask that you just sanctify this ground, Lord. May this ground be holy ground. God, we're in your house today. We're in the worship hour. God, I'm just asking, may we look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. God, I'm asking that you allow that Holy Spirit freedom to be working today. God, I'm asking that you allow it to work in the Christian's life. God, I'm asking for power this morning from a great, almighty Holy Spirit. Lord, I'm just the messenger, God. Give us this message. Lord, you gave it on my heart to give to somebody today. Somebody in this auditorium needs to hear this. God, I'm asking for your power. God, I'm asking that the altars, Lord, be responsive to you. God, as we go into this camp, Lord, there are those that are having some difficulties right now. There's those that need to hear from you. God, I just ask that you just remove the hindrances. God, I'm asking that you allow that Holy Spirit power on this place. God, unite our hearts together as one body, as one church. Lord, you bless this place. God, you've been showing up. Lord, I just ask that you just move some mountains today. In your name, amen. The first thing I want you to see is this, is that number one, God always has a plan. He always has a plan. So through your disappointments and your valleys that you're going through in your trials, and you may be in one right now, I want to let you know something. God brought you there. You're saying, but I don't like the water. I don't like this bitterness. I don't like what's happening. God had a plan. Why? Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 in my text, God led them out in the wilderness for 40 years to humble them, to prove them, to test them, to absolutely see who God is. God always brings you to a point, and I want you to see real quickly is this. When you think nobody cares, when your problems are consuming you, when you may even think that God can't help, I want you to know that there is a Holy Spirit that dwells in us that can lighten you in the Word of God. There is a presence in our life. If you're saved today, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're saved. God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And you might be at the spring of Marah, meaning bitter. You might be there because you might be mad at somebody. You might be holding aught against somebody else. But I'm going to tell you, Helen Wood, we cannot go into this camp. We cannot go into Cowboy Camp with there is distress in the midst of the body of Christ. I know nothing. I don't know anything that's going on in this church, but I do know this. You holding bitterness against somebody else, it'll stop the power of God this week. Man. You holding on against somebody else, they don't even have to be in this church. I'm going to tell you something. Life's too short. Now give me a good amen on that one. Amen. Good night. I'm a granddad, and in 6 months I'll be granddad twice over. Unbelievable how fast life moves. Unbelievable how God brings it to a point. When I had my triple bypass, I didn't have a heart attack. I just had a triple bypass. But, buddy, when I had that, I realized my life is too short. I'm going to give it everything I got. I'm going to give everything I got to God. I'm not going to waste another moment. I'm not going to waste another time. And then all of a sudden, there's an adversary. There we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. And there comes old Satan. He's going to try every device he can to get you right on that waters of bitterness. And he's going to try to rob you of that joy in your life. And he's going to snatch that up. And pretty soon you might be like Moses saying, God, why on earth did you bring me here? I was all right on the backside of the desert. Nobody was bothering me. I try to make a step forward in the Christian life, and I try to do something for you. Now, look where you got me. Number one was what? God always has a, he's always got a plan. Number two, real quickly, I want you to see exactly what Moses did. All throughout the wilderness, the people always said, Moses, did you bring us out here to die? Moses, did you bring us out here to die? Moses, did you bring us out here to die? For 40 years, all he heard was grumbling and complaining. But on the flip side, there is a verse in the Bible that says, for 40 years, their shoes didn't wear out, nor did their clothes. nor did their clothes. For 40 years, they were wearing the same thing. Some of y'all don't even wear the same thing in 6 months. You throw it away and buy something new. For 40 years, they had the same shoes, the same clothes. Now, do you think that's any mistake, or you think God preserved that material? God knows what He's doing. But I want you to see what Moses' reaction is. Everybody seems to be murmuring against Moses. In verse 23, and they came to Marah. They could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Ladies and gentlemen, we don't have all the answers, do we? Can I get an admittance of that? We don't always have the answers. God does. Moses always had Marahs. Just got out of the presence of God, man. He just got down out of the mountaintop. Just got done in the presence of God, and all of a sudden he comes down that mountain to a golden calf. Every year I go down to Myrtle, Mississippi. It's a prayer camp that some pastors had. There's an old preacher by the name of Percy Ray. The church never got over 150. But on that property, they have the original auditorium sat over 2,000 people. Then they built a building that sat 4,000 people. Every week, a church of 150 would usher in anywhere from 2,500 to 3,000 people per week, feed them breakfast, lunch, and supper, and they would have revival and prayer time. Now, this is way back when. And they would have revival and prayer time all week long in Myrtle, Mississippi. You know what's in Myrtle, Mississippi? A Dollar General. They're always everywhere, aren't they? A Dollar General and a gas station. When I go there, I have breakfast, lunch, and supper at a gas station. There's nothing there. And yet, miracle after miracle happened in Myrtle, Mississippi. When I go down to Myrtle, Mississippi, the first time I went down there, there was a couple of pastors that got a hold of me, and they said, now listen, Brother Glenn, I'm going to tell you something. You come down here, and you're going to experience the glory of God, because all we're doing is praying. And I'm going to tell you, man, 2 or 3 hours like that goes by, and it seems like you were there 2 or 3 minutes. But they said the devil himself is going to try to attack you. It happens every time. We've been coming down here for years. I know this is your first year, but I want you to be aware of it and be wise to the deceit of the devil. I want you to know something. He's going to come after you. And ladies and gentlemen, you and I are nobodies. Who do we think we are that Satan can't get us? The Bible says, take heed lest ye fall. But I'm having a great time. Man alive, I'm having a great week. You better be careful because the devil's right around the corner. And all of a sudden, Moses came down out of the glory of God, and there was the golden calf. Moses had his own brother and sister attack him. Moses had to go through accusations. Moses had to go through the grumbling and the complaining of people. Moses had to even get mad at the people and the second time strike the rock instead of speak to the rock. Moses had his problems and his issues just like you and I do. He had his morals. God always has a plan, but I want you to see God always purifies. Number two, real quickly, if you would, please. In verse 24, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And, look at this, he cried unto the Lord. I want you to see real quickly, and I'm going to step on some toes. When Moses had a right to complain to everybody else, Moses kept his mouth shut. When he could have vented on Facebook, when he could have called somebody else and says, do you know what did that, and all this other stuff, Moses, according to Scripture, according to Exodus, he kept his mouth shut, but he went to the throne of God. People are going to rile against you. People are going to get against you if you do anything for the cause of Christ. But all of a sudden, we see Moses saying, I can't bear this burden alone. I got to cast all my care upon him because he cares for me. I got to go to the one that knows all the answers. And all of a sudden, Moses says, I'm not going to talk to any of you. except my God. God, I don't know what you're doing here. I don't know why you led us to these waters. God, you just did a great miracle. God, what's going on? You led me to these people. God, you just... And he started praying. It was a prayer of discouragement. What are you doing? Why? It was a prayer of dependence. See, Moses couldn't do anything about it. You do know that they say that 90% of everything that happens to you, you can't do anything about it anyway. Amen. I don't know why. I don't like taxes, but I guess they come around every year, and I guess you're supposed to pay them. Don't like it. Can't do anything about it. I don't like some of the things that happen. I don't like check engine lights on vehicles. But guess what? They come on. I don't understand why people don't always get on fire for God. I don't always understand why people just punch their ticket coming to church. I don't understand why people can't understand what God did for them. But lo and behold, there are those that have that. There are those that are Korah's. Moses went up against Korah, and Korah says, Moses, you think you're all that spiritually? You think that you're the only one? Why, this whole camp follows God. And God says, nuh-uh, I'm not going to have any of that. And he told them the next morning to go out there, and lo and behold, the Bible says that the earth opened up and swallowed up Korah and everything. And the only thing I can think, the only visionary that I have, is when that earth swallowed up and went whoom all over Korah, there's just a little bit of dust that came up out of the ground. And the Bible's dropped down to that next verse, and the very next morning, Israel said, Moses, you killed the people of the Lord. And God's the one that did it. I don't understand people. On the back of my trailer, I can't believe I'm saying this, especially live stream. On the back of my trailer, I just bought that, last winter. And I guess it's a song. I don't know the song. It says, God is great. Beer is good. People are crazy. Right? Okay. All right. Well, we were starting out this year on Haven of Hope and traveling everywhere, and I said, I can't go down the highway with beer is good. So I scraped off beer is good because I like the saying, God is great, people are crazy. Are people not crazy? Hello? Yes, yeah. Are you with me? Are people crazy? Yeah, you crazy people, you. But my God says, I'll listen to your prayer of discouragement. I'm certainly going to listen to your prayer of dependence, because that's all Moses had was God. And ladies and gentlemen, truth be told, that's all we got is God. It was also the prayer of deliverance. The Bible says here, and he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord did what, folks? I'm loving this. I'm almost done. The Lord, here it is, in verse 25, and he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. Showed him a tree. I don't know what you're going through, but I'm going to tell you, you need to get to the cross. Amen. The Lord showed him a tree. And the Bible says there, when he showed him that tree, when he had cast it into the waters were made what? Sweet. People always try to rationalize everything about that tree and what it was and how it made the waters. I'm going to tell you, I don't care what it was. I don't care if you scientifically try to prove it. No tree casting into any waters can make a water. Now, keep in mind, 1 million-plus people need to drink from this water. No single tree is going to make that water sweet. No matter how you... The only explanation is that God just did a miracle. Hey! But he did a miracle because Moses went to the tree. Not Facebook, not Twitter, not the person on the other end of the phone. He went to the tree. And man, something was going on. I love Moses. I cannot wait till heaven to meet him. He's my favorite Bible person in the whole Bible. What he had to do, he's like herding cats. Unbelievable what all he did. And there he was, and he was at the land of Marah, and he took that tree, and he threw it in the water, and he said, "Let's drink." You don't think people were a little hesitant? I went to the Dead Sea, and there's a guy on one of these little things that he stands on, and he has this thing, and he's there to tell everybody, no splashing. It'll burn your eyes out. It'll burn your eyes out. So they kept on the signs everywhere, too salty and all that, but it's a spa area now. And I was with a guy by the name of Andy Zirkle, and we were there, and we were thinking, how salty is this thing? And he said, put your tongue in it. I said, no, man, you put your tongue in it. And so we went back and forth, and finally he said, well, let's do it together. And I, you know, okay, I got another dumb person with me. So we went like this, and we stuck our tongue down in that salt water. And I'm going to tell you, it about burned my tongue. I mean, you could feel that thing burning, that Dead Sea. And you went like that, and buddy, it just started burning. Now imagine Moses when he says, I'm going to throw in a tree, and then y'all can drink. Hey, that's pretty good. But the Bible didn't say that it was just good. The Bible says that the water was. There's no sweeter place than getting to the cross. There's no sweeter place. Y'all are going through things. You got some difficulties. Get to the cross. Get to the cross. Because of time, I'm just going to show you a couple of verses and I'll be done. It says here, and said in verse 26, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the Lord, that means when you get to that cross, you need to seek God. And it says here, the voice of thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight. That means to obey. That means to serve God. And will give ear. That means to study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. That's what that giving ear means. And then it says here, if you give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, that means to stay at the cross. We got to get to the cross and we got to seek God. We got to obey God. We got to listen to God. We got to keep his statutes. If you want your water sweet, hey, 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 you can defeat the devil himself today. Get thee behind me, Satan. There's no warfare more powerful than God. There's no battle that was ever excruciating than the fact that when God died on the cross, all of hell was rejoicing, all of hell was shouting, but then all of a sudden, here comes that third day, and the ground started shaking, and that tomb started moving, and all of a sudden, Jesus Christ rises up from the dead, and never a time in history had hell ever start shivering in fear, because God did exactly what he said he would do. Are you listening to me? God promises he will work into you, give you life abundant, give you that perfect peace, give you that life everlasting. Titus chapter 2 verse 5 says God cannot lie, and if he promised it, he'll give it.
Amen.
Man, why do we doubt God? Just get to the cross and stay there.
Amen.
Your life will be so much better. I know y'all know Haven of Hope, but I got to tell you, man, we deal with teenagers on drugs, shooting up. I've dealt with teenagers on meth. Are you kidding me? Teenagers on meth. I've dealt with kids that they don't know who their mama is. They don't know who their daddy is. We've adopted out of the Haven of Hope program. I got a little girl that is adopted, and I'm going to tell you, it'll break your heart on some of these kids that you see, and I'm going to tell you, hey, hey, Helen Wood is no different. There's going to be kids here this week that they don't know if they're loved or not. And they want to know, is there a place in this county that I can go to that I know I'm loved? And guess what? We have a high obligation by God Almighty to give them that week. And give them a week that they're loved. Amen? They may be stinky. They may be dirty. I got a daughter-in-law, not Lexi, the other daughter-in-law. And she grew up in cowboy camp, and we used to call her. She hates it when I did this illustration. She hates it. She hates it. So don't call her up and tell her to watch the live stream. We used to call my daughter-in-law, the other daughter, not Lexi, the other daughter-in-law, we used to call her Potty Mouth Kirsten. In cowboy camp, we used to call her Potty Mouth Kirsten. Guess what? That's all she knew. That's all she knew. But blessed be to God, she got saved. God changed her life. And God had a plan for her, and God was bringing her all the way, purifying her life. She started growing up and being a teenager, and she started growing up in the Lord and maturing in the Lord. There were times that she was by the water, Mara, but she got to the cross. God made her life sweet, and next thing I know is that Potty Mouth Kirsten is coming down to be my daughter-in-law. By the way, I hate those phrases, in-laws. God's blessed me. He's blessed me. And Potty Mouth Kirsten is now, leading people to Christ, praying for her family, serving faithfully, because she went to the cross and God made it sweet. I'm not done with the story here. If you would, look every way, if you would, after we go there and stay there and study the Lord and serve God and seek God, God always has a place, not only a plan purifying and prepared for us, but I want you to see that He has a place. In verse 27, and they came to Eliam. This is about 7 miles south of Marah. 7 miles, that's it. That's it. 7 miles. They went 3 days without water. Good water was only 7 miles on down the road. Notice this. And they came to Eliam, where there were 12 wells of water. Why 12? There's 12 tribes of Israel. Each tribe had a well. And then it says here, and 70, that's 70. If you know anything about numerology in the Bible, 70 is meaning strength. 70 has to deal with inner experience, inner knowledge by experience. There were 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. They actually encamped there for about 3 months. 3 months. But there's one line I want to get to. Look back, if you would, please, to verse 26. Look at the very last sentence. This is God talking here, and He says, I am the Lord that what? Healeth. I'm the Lord that healeth thee. I'm sorry, but no self-help book can heal you. I'm sorry, but there's no remedy on this earth. There's no diet on this earth. There's no exercise that can help you. Only God can heal you. I got a pastor friend in Greensboro, North Carolina, and he said, made this statement last week. It's amazing on the timing that he did. He posted this and he said, my prayer today, Lord, whether you bless me or whether you break me today, my request is this. Don't let me get bitter. Let me get better. Lord, my prayer today, whether you break me, yes, or whether you bless me, my prayer is that you don't make me bitter. Make me better. Who's our pianist? Hey, why don't you come on and just start playing? I'm done here. There's two houses in America that are the most visited. The number one house in America that is visited is the White House. That is the number one house. The number two house is right here in Tennessee. Anybody know what that is? Graceland. Graceland is the second house in America visit, the most visited. You know him by the name of Elvis Presley. Elvis Presley was raised in church. He did sing unto the Lord at one time. But see, this world got a hold of him, and he got caught up in the affairs of this life. Behind Graceland, there's that tombstone of Elvis Presley. Towards the end of his life, he was full of so many pills and so many drugs. Right at the very end of his life, he was eating breakfast one day, and he literally passed out at the breakfast table. His face fell into his food. If there was someone not there, they say, I'm using this in quotes, but he would have drowned in his own breakfast and suffocated. When he got raised up and they cleaned him up, Elvis Presley made this one statement. He said, I would give $1 million if I could just find peace for one day. It's not easy going through trials, is it? I'm going to tell you another thing. It's not easy holding grudges either. The Bible says, beware lest any root of bitterness springs up. Ladies and gentlemen, it'll kill you and it'll rob you of your peace. It'll rob you of your peace. I'd give $1 million if I could just have peace for one day. Why are you wrestling with this? Life's too short to have anything against anybody else. You're at the waters of Marah. I'm going to tell you, you've got to get to that tree. Let God keep our mouth shut and get to the cross and turn it over to God. He's the only one that can heal. Amen. He's the only one. Every head bowed, every eye closed, if you would, please. I'm going to ask you two questions. Number one is this. Pastor, I know that you haven't been preaching a salvation message, and I know God directed you to lead this message, but I got to be honest, I'm sitting here today, I do not know Christ as my Savior. If something happened to me today, I do not know for a fact on where I'd spend eternity. Pastor, I need you to pray for me. I got questions, and they need some answers. I'm going to raise my hand. You're not going to embarrass me. I know that, but I've got to be honest with you. I do not know Christ as my Savior. Is there anyone like that here today? Simply put it up, put it right back down. Pastor, pray for me. I'm lost. I do not know Christ as my Savior. I'm lost. I'm lost. I'm lost. If something happened to me, I don't know where I'd spend